In today's Mishnah, we learn the 8th and 9th Mishnah from the 9th Perek of Masechta Taharot. The Mishnah begins, Hasher Chinimtza Berei Chaim. So here, the Mishnah says, if a sheretz, a dead sheretz, which is a source of tumah, one of the taming creatures, Chinimtza Berei Chaim, that's found in the mill in which they crushed olives. So Kati explains the extension. What this means is normally they would have olives. If they were ripe, they would take them straight to the press. If they were unripe, we would explain they would leave them there till they ripened. However, in certain situations where they didn't have time to do so, they would crush them first before placing them in the press. But so in this case, a sheretz is found in such a rechaim, in a mill. So ein tam ela makom haga'o, meaning that only the places where the sheretz is in contact with, only those olives, they're the ones that are tame, because since each of the crushed olives here, they are not the size of a kibbutzah. They're small. That means they're smaller than the minimum size for food to pass on tumah. That's why only those olives in direct contact would be tameh. However, imam amashke mahalech, if I were some liquid that was in contact with all these olives, was floating around all these olives, then we say hakol tameh. That is because once the liquid becomes partially tameh, it's all tameh. And then it would make all the olives tamer as well. Nimtza agabe alim. What happens if the sheretz is found on top of leaves that are on top of these olives? Now, the leaves are not susceptible to tumah because they are not food themselves. So Mishnah says, Yishalu habadadim. What the owner can do, they can ask the workers in the Beit Abad. The assumption here is that these workers are ami ha'aretz, they're not versed in laws of tumah and tara. Nonetheless, the owner of the Beit HaVavad was metahir them, ensure that they became tahor in order they could engage in the project, in their work, and not make the olives tamer. So you can actually ask and inquire of them, and they can say, lo naganu, which means you can ask them, and if they say that we didn't come into contact with the sheretz, or according to another girsa, it says, lo naga, or they say that they know for certain that the sheretz can come in contact with the olives, in that case, you would be able to trust them. Interestingly here, despite the fact that Am Haaretz is not necessarily trusted with his own possessions, because he's not versed with laws in Tumah and Tara, however, here in this case, we find that he's trusted with respect to other people. So, in other words, in this case, the property of the Beit HaBad, of the owner of these olives. If, however, if the sheretz was in contact with the om, meaning a large block of olives that got stuck together, we say avila basara, even if one hair of the sheretz came into contact with the gush, then tameh, the entire gush would become tameh. In other words, since the olives are all effectively made of one big block, they're considered one guf, one body. Let's now learn Mishnah Tet. Nimtza al gabei perudim. So here we're dealing with the olives came together as over time they basically came into one big mass, but some pieces broke off from it. Those are the perudim. So these perudim are on top of the mass, and the sheretz is resting on these perudim, on these small parts that have been broken off. Meaning these prudim themselves, each individually, are not a kibbutz. However, it's in contact with a kibbutz's worth of these prudim. Mishnah says everything is tameh, which is interesting because normally we say that if food is not the size of a kibbutz on its own, then it could not pass on tumah. However, here, since the main mass is in contact with these small pieces that broke off it, it effectively, it's mitzarva fatan. It combines them together. Combines these kibbutz's worth of prudim together to make it to be considered one, such that it would now make the on the main mass tameh. However, if it was prudim al gabei prudim, if it was small pieces on top of other small pieces, afa pishu no gabei kibbutz, even the sheretz is in contact with the kibbutz's worth of prudim, which say ein tameh ela makom haga'o. Then, since we don't have the mass directly underneath the small pieces to combine them together, therefore we treat them as all these only the parts that were in contact with the sheretz would be tameh. And since each individually is less than a kibbutz, they cannot pass on tumah any further. Nimtza ben kotel lezeitim. If a sheretz is found between the wall of in the bud and the zeitim, the taharim zeitim, the team that are tahor, they're not tameh. We say then we say it's tahor. We're not concerned that maybe the sheretz came into contact with it. Nimtza begag. What happens if it's found on the roof? In other words, they take the olives from the mitan, from that vat, and they took them onto the and to rest them on the roof, and the sheretz is found on the roof. So we say that the mitana, that vat, remains tahor. Meaning we don't say maybe the sheretz was in the vat and it was taken up onto the roof with these olives. Because again, the principle, which as we've learned previously, is kam nimtza kanaya. Meaning, since the sheretz is found here, we assume it was here all along, meaning on the gag. Nimtza b'mitan, if however it was found within the vat itself, then we say all the olives on the roof are tameh. Why? Is because despite the fact, as I just said, we say kan nimtza kan haya, where it is where it always was, or unless we know any different. Here we do machzikim toma mizman mizman, meaning we do assume that because it's here now, it was there previously. And previously, what was inside this mitan, what is in the vat, it was all these olives, so therefore the olives on the roof would have to be considered tameh. Next, nimtza saruf. What happens if a sheretz is nimsa saruf ala zeitim, so a burnt sheretz? So once a sheretz is burnt, the dead sheretz is no longer a source of tumah. It was found on the zeitim. V'chin matlit mehuha. So we're dealing with a matlit, is a cloth, a piece of clothing. However, it became bluya, it became completely worn out. So it was tamer initially, but once it's worn out, it's no longer considered a beggar, a kli anymore, and therefore it would be tahor. So we say in that situation, so if this sheretz that is already burnt or the worn out garment is in contact with the zeitim, we say the zeitim are torim. Why? In other words, we're not concerned that maybe only burnt after, or maybe the beged only wore out after, because we say once again shekola tumot kashat mitziatan. In other words, we assess the tuma as we see it in the present when the question comes up. So since it is burnt now and it's not a source of tumah, then we can simply say that unless we know otherwise, unless there's any evidence otherwise, we simply say it was tahor when it came in contact with his zeitim. It was already burnt. And similarly, the clothing, that garment, was already worn out. Or not really garment, more piece of material, I should say, was already worn out. Those are the Mishnah today.